Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
All right, mate.
Hello, mate.
All right, how's it going?
Good, mate. What a busy little day we have had.
Yeah, we've had quite a busy one, really. Considering we've not actually recorded the normal things we record.
Yeah, right?
We tried to twist it to make it quicker and it didn't work.
Yeah, so I think we talk about it in the show a little bit, but it's Laurie and I today because Ollie is not here today. He's doing business type things. And poor Chopper Pete Quinnell is under the weather. He's not been feeling great all week. Like, he's not been sleeping a lot, but apparently last night was really bad. Like, when I woke up to lots of messages from him on WhatsApp that were sent at ungodly hours of the morning. And yeah, so he's not well. So it is just me and Laurie.
On his birthday as well.
On his birthday. It's just me and Laurie in the office. That's the second Friday in a row. It's just being me and thee. And yeah, so no crap gimmicks again this week, just because we haven't got time to really do them, because we had to do the news and Screen Stalker and this video and all of the other usual content. I've got to try and throw out Pete's weekend video.
Goodness me.
Goodness me, indeed. But yeah, it's a busy, busy day for us. But what's your weekend looking like?
I'm going to a wedding.
When aren't you going to a wedding?
I'm so fed up of weddings, honestly. Like, I love it. Like, it's like, yeah, great. You're in love, whatever. I'm over it.
It's costing me a fortune.
It's costing me a fortune. I want to stay at home for a weekend. That would be lovely. So if you could all not get married anymore, that, or stay married when you've got it. I don't know. I think there was an interesting article about this a while ago that said, like, obviously everyone was saying that avocado on toast was the thing that's killing millennials. Just financially killing us, obviously.
Avocados are very expensive.
They are expensive.
It's why we can't buy houses.
No, it's weddings is why we can't buy houses, Luke. It's because every millennial person seemingly has so many more friends because of social media and move and job mobility and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, if you have five jobs by the time you're 29, you're going to have five lots of workmates who are all going to get married. And if you stayed in touch, you're probably going to get an invite. You'll have all your friends from university. You'll have all your friends from home. Everyone gets married around the same 5 years. So you just end up going to back-to-back weddings and being like, well, that's another lot of money I don't get back.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Like, weddings. And also, weddings are nice. They are really nice, but they are the same. All what, like, they run the same, the order of running things is the same, that you hit the same beats. It's like watching the same TV program but with different actors. It's like when Motown was just doing the same singles for like years but with different acts singing the song, but they're all fundamentally the same. Doesn't matter if it was the Supremes or the Four Tops doing it, it's the same damn song.
Well, I love a wedding. I'd go to one every week if I could.
No, you wouldn't.
I bloody would. I love
bloody wouldn't.
Having said that, I remember your friend of mine, Tim, he had a period of time, it was a couple of years ago, where he did four weddings in 4 weekends.
Did he do a funeral at the end?
Well, no, well, that was what he was a bit concerned about. I think that was the joke that everyone was saying. But yeah, it just so happened that he had 4 weekends where he had to go to a wedding. And I saw him at the fourth one, and he said, yeah, I've done 3 weddings for the past 3 weeks. He goes, I had to buy a new suit because I was so sick of wearing the same thing.
Yeah, it's like your own personal Groundhog Day. It's, you know what I mean? Where everyone else is really happy and you're just... And you are happy, but you're also sat there going, like, I feel like I've done this.
Your error, Laurie, is you have too many friends. Like, you've just retained friends from various different things.
I'm trying to get rid of them, Luke. Why do you think I'm saying this on a thing that goes out on the internet?
So why did you retain all of those friends from university?
Clip this and tweet it, Luke, because I want people to know.
You and my wife have such a large friendship group from university. I found it remarkable when I met you all. I was like, there's loads of you. How did this happen?
Yeah, fortunately, I feel like we've run the course of that. Like, we've run that...
Run that one into the ground.
Yeah, so that's it.
I've now my friendship group has tripled in size because of my wife and because of you and because of you all being friends from uni.
Well, look.
I had 4 friends before that point.
Look, so the friends from university, they could have all had the decency to marry them like within the group.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying is that we could have cut down on the number of weddings if everyone had the goddamn decency to marry within the group.
Only 2 of them did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone else went further afield.
Everyone else looked outside. Side, and then that means you've doubled the number of weddings I have to go to.
Very inconsiderate.
And now I can't buy a house. Long story short.
Like, I look back at the jobs that I've had since getting out of university, and there's only one job where I've retained, and it is those 4 friends that I mentioned that I've retained from one of those jobs. Everything else, as soon as I'm at that job, cut ties. Apart from my last job I had, where I've retained 1 friend from there. And even then, we don't see each other very often, which actually I find quite upsetting. I do wish I could see him more. But I'm going to add him to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Like that I've made from work-based things. And then I've got you guys.
I've got loads of random ones.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where maybe the difference is, and you know, call me rude if you want to, but is it okay to RSVP no? Do you know what I mean? Like,
can you RSVP no to a wedding can't be bothered?
I can't remember all the forms and stuff. Like, do you do forms or do people just email? Like,
We did ours through an online form.
Yeah, so online form. Cool. Do you leave a box saying reason?
Reason? Yeah, I think there was.
Have you
a
got
reason?
A drop down? Like busy.
Yeah.
Out of the country.
I think it just came saying, I
don't
think it was just,
want to.
It was just, sorry, I cannot make it.
We not just, as good friends as you thought we were.
No, I think we just had it as, sorry, I cannot make the wedding. And then when people said they couldn't make it, they would then message us to be like, I'm very sorry, but this is the reason why I can't make the wedding.
So maybe I need to
You have the option to say no and not give a reason.
Yeah.
And just go quiet.
That's harsh, isn't it?
Well, I actually invited someone
Imagine
to my
being
wedding.
Ghosted by your wedding.
Because I've got no childhood friends. Mm. I've got no friends from school. I've got no friends from university that I've stayed in touch with. Just cutting ties.
Luke's cutting ties all over the place.
I've got no friends from school. I've got one. There was one person that I was still talking to after university that I went to school with. But even then, we basically lost touch. But I thought, I'm going to invite him to the wedding. So I reached out and I sent him an invite. And he just, and I know that he saw it and just didn't respond.
Oh.
And that was it. And I was like, yep, that about sums that
and
up.
That's why you shouldn't do your invites over WhatsApp. Because then you get the blue ticks and then you know.
I know, right? Yeah. But that's why I did it on purpose. Also, I didn't know what his email address was. I hadn't spoken to him for like 5 years at that point.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, that was this portion of the podcast. Let's talk about The Fiend and Brock Lesnar, shall we? Here is the show. All the time in the world. It is official. It is going to be The Fiend versus Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell for the Universal Championship. Mm-hmm. Big, big time match. I believe it's also inside Hell in a Cell as well. So big, big time match there. Gotta think, Fiend's going to win.
Yeah.
On top of that, on this week's SmackDown, Brock Lesnar made his return to the company and, through the medium of Paul Heyman, challenged current WWE champion Kofi Kingston to a match not at Hell in a Cell, but on the first episode of SmackDown when it goes to Fox in a couple of weeks' time. So we are currently looking at a world in which, in about 2 to 3 weeks' time, we could have The Fiend as the Universal Champion.
Yep.
And Brock Lesnar as the WWE Champion.
Leading to
Survivor Series.
Champion versus champion.
If they're going to be doing the Raw versus SmackDown gimmick again, we could have a match between The Fiend and Brock Lesnar.
I like it. Not convinced they'll book it the right way. Yeah. Absolutely. Completely convinced that they would let Brock win that. But if The Fiend won that, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best. That would be the best way to use. If this is the avenue we're going to go down with this whole thing, that would be the best way to do it.
And it's weird as well, because very nearly, a few years back, we nearly had Bray versus Brock at WrestleMania, because they had that whole segment in the Royal Rumble where Brock Lesnar was taking out the Wyatt family. And that was supposed to set up Brock versus Bray for Mania, but they went in a different direction. I can't quite remember the year, the what direction they went into. But this would be, I guess, a first-time match. But it's also the biggest character in the company at the moment, the most popular character in The Fiend, taking on the unstoppable force of Lesnar. It's a very difficult one to book.
Yeah. The magical logic loophole, I would say, though, is that if The Fiend beats Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins slayed the beast. If The Fiend beats Seth Rollins, he's better than a beast slayer. He's a double beast slayer. He's a beast slayer slayer.
And also, he's also a monster slayer.
Yeah, exactly. And therefore, he can then beat Brock.
I'm
unconvinced that they'll go with this,
yeah,
like I've said before, but I think that would be the best use of this. If this is the outcome, that's the best way to do it.
It's such a tricky one, because it's, you don't want to be jobbing out The Fiend.
No.
Which is why I think The Fiend winning at Hell in a Cell is the only answer.
Yeah.
For me, like, people have been sending in various different suggestions on how to get around this. And for me, there is but one answer, and that is The Fiend wins.
Yeah.
I don't want Undertaker making an appearance so that Seth wins via Undertaker interference.
So The Fiend can retire Undertaker, etc. As good a rub that is.
Undertaker causes a DQ inside of Hell in a Cell. I don't want any of this. And I don't want no contest, so Seth retains, but The Fiend doesn't lose anything. Because for me, Fiend loses everything unless he wins.
Yeah.
I think The Fiend has to win.
It's probably a corner you shouldn't have booked yourself into, isn't it? I mean, if you didn't want to have Seth lose. So, I feel like they'll be fine with Seth losing. I don't know. I think, this is a case of go with what's hot.
And The Fiend is
stratospherically hot. It's like, as much as they tried to light a fire under babyface Rollins since the Universal Championship win, I don't think it's come off the way they wanted it to.
No.
Wasn't helped by some of his Twitter antics. But, like, overall, he's not quite become the babyface champion people have wanted him to be.
I think Seth's stone cold right now. Not stone cold as in Austin. I just mean he's stone cold in terms of heat. I don't think he's not the over babyface he was last year.
Yeah.
When they were pushing Roman as the title picture instead. Seth's a guy at that time.
He's not even the over babyface he was when he won the championship.
That's true.
And then lost it again. Yeah. Like, you know, it was that swerve to have him lose it again just to win it back so you could have another big moment of Seth winning. It's like, we did that.
We did it at Mania.
A couple of months ago. It's like, it's stupid to have him lose it. We should have just had him run through a few people, rack up a few Slayer names, and then have one person beat him.
Which would be The Fiend. For my money, Fiend has to win at Hell in a Cell. If I was a betting man, which I'm not, gamble responsibly, when the fun stops. If I was a betting man, come Fox, come October, come SmackDown on Fox in October, Brock Lesnar's winning the title.
Yep.
He's beating Kofi Kingston. He's going to be Brock Lesnar, WWE champion. Just because you want to have a big story from that show. Maybe the bigger story is that Kofi retains, but WWE have got a track record of liking to do title switches on these big shows, these sort of big debut shows.
Yes, yeah.
Because a title switch feels like a really big deal.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar winning the WWE Championship on Fox, which they want to be the more sports-orientated thing. They haven't got Ronda Rousey to give them like they promised, so the next best thing would be to give them Lesnar.
Mm.
For me, it almost makes sense that, and as Ollie was saying in the SmackDown review, it's almost inevitable that Brock is going to win.
Yeah. Well, I also think like that, yeah, I think all the outside the kayfabe world stuff points to it, one. And I think if the direction is to do Universal Champion versus WWE Champion, Brock is a better choice if it's going to be the Fiend, because the Fiend versus Kofi feels like a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Fiend is winning that match, hands down. I'm not sure about this. Like, there is actually the bit of me that's like, maybe the Fiend won't win.
Yeah.
But if the Fiend does win, that's amazing.
If I was to fantasy book this, if I had booked myself into this corner like WWE might possibly have done, bearing in mind as well, none of this is a foregone conclusion.
Mm.
Like, this is purely speculation. It's just looking at the high likelihoods of things, the way things are going at the moment. We don't even know if they're going to do Raw versus SmackDown this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are in that match, here is how I would do it to make everyone look grand. You have Brock Lesnar make his entrance. He comes out. He's the WWE champion. Big Brock Lesnar. Dun, 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 dun. He walks down to the ring. Heyman's there. Da, 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 da. You then do the Fiend's entrance. Brock rolls out the ring while Fiend does his big entrance. He looks at that and be like, not having any part of this.
Yeah.
And just walks away. Not scared. He's just like, not having any part of this. I'm not getting in the ring with
this
him.
This is silly.
I'm not getting in the ring with him. I'm not having it. And just walks away. And then the ref can count and do the count out. And the Fiend can just stand there. He looks scary and intimidating. Brock looks smart because he's like, I'm not fighting him.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous idea. And maybe it makes Brock look bad. I don't know. I've literally just come up with this off the top of my head.
I think it could make Brock look bad.
It could, yeah.
I think you could also just do it to a no contest, that match. Like, as long as it's not like a stipulation match, you could just do it to a no contest. End it like NXT ended. Like, yeah. End it like these guys just go crazy on each other and brawl. And they involve everyone. And that's how you close out your pay-per-view.
Yeah, I suppose you could.
With just like a no, like, you know.
Of a Raw versus SmackDown.
And you could
Brawl.
Almost, and you know, you could almost, if you wanted to, then build that into like, this was the deciding match for the for like each side of things.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a draw up until now. This will be the decider. And then there is no decision. And then you can almost drag out the Raw versus SmackDown thing to push viewers back and forth between USA and Fox for ages.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it'd be a cool build to this.
Yeah, Firefly Funhouse will be a lot of fun.
I want to see Firefly Funhouse at Bray talking to Paul Heyman. I want to see that happen because I think they will click.
Well, I think Ollie hit a great idea recently when someone was asking, can you see Becky Lynch appearing on Firefly Funhouse to build the Seth Rollins feud? But I like Ollie's idea better, which is no other wrestler goes to Firefly Funhouse unless there's a puppet version of them.
Yeah.
So you'd have like a puppet version of Heyman for Bray to interact
with.
Yes, yeah. And that's quite cool. I think that'd be really fun.
Or it's the he's in the ring and Bray's talking to him from there.
Like he did with Rollins this past Monday's Raw.
Which worked. I liked that.
Yeah. The other alternatives to this is that Fiend doesn't win,
mm-hmm.
but Brock still wins. That means we could be setting up a Survivor Series, Seth versus Brock for the third bloody time this year.
No.
Or it could end up being Seth versus Kofi.
Mm. Seth versus Kofi, I'm into.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into that. I mean, yeah. I'm into that than I am more Seth versus Brock. Yeah.
I'm into Fiend versus Kofi as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Of all the options, Fiend versus Lesnar is like the one that's the most enticing because that's got the most drama to it of like, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, how could they do this? I think a lot of people will have fear, and I can almost predict there will be comments on this video saying like, I don't want to see Fiend just get German suplexed around the ring and then beaten.
Yeah,
because there is that fear.
Well, that's
that they don't want to. They don't want to make Lesnar look weak.
But that's what makes Lesnar just wins, isn't it? It's like I think that's the thing. Is like with Seth and with Kofi, the logical bit of my brain says it's a foregone conclusion that the Fiend is going to win. I mean, they could swerve completely and have if it was Kofi, have Kofi win.
That's it. Yeah,
that'd be nuts.
Yeah.
But I feel like going into the Brock. Like a Brock match is just there's just so many more stakes there.
Yeah,
there's just so much more options for things to. The story of it to play out differently because you have to like put yourself into WWE's head and be like, well, Brock's very strong.
Yeah.
And he can't just be like manhandled by this guy, even though this guy's a demon, weird fiend thing that came from a man's imagination. Whereas it's like, Kofi, he's happy-go-lucky.
Yeah.
He can get trounced by a monster.
Exactly. Throws pancakes at people.
Yeah, exactly.
And then gets, you know, mandible clawed.
Yeah.
Fiend versus Kofi. does have a lot of intrigue about it. I kind of like that idea. It seems like the more sensible option, but the more enticing option for me is certainly Fiend versus Brock.
Well, because do you know what? The fun thing that with the Fiend versus Kofi that you can do is you can put Kofi back into the role that made Kofi the champion. You can put Kofi back into the ever underdog.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
That, you know, he's... And they've clearly still been trying to recapture that magic. That's why whenever Kofi comes out, he still talks about how it was 11 years before he won.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we know. Like,
you've won now, mate.
Stop it.
Get over it.
Yeah, but you can put him back in that sort of like fighting spirit side of him, and you can be like, well, I'm not gonna bow to this guy. I'm all about this guy's trying to scare me, and he's trying to take my friends away, and he's trying to intimidate me. I'm all about the power of positivity, and I'm all about defending this belt and the honor that comes with this.
That's cool. It's cool, man. Dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave a comment in the community section. Do not email me. I will just lose it. Everyone is doing very, very well at just leaving those comments in the lovely old little community section where I can find them.
That's it.
I can find them and I can catalogue them. Like this chap here. Shaya has said, hello, Ollie, Luke, and Laurie. With AEW and NXT going head-to-head in competition on Wednesday night, does this mean that companies like Impact and New Japan won't get any attention they healthily deserve? And who do you see from Impact and New Japan going to either AEW or WWE? Love the great work you guys do. That's a very contradictory question. Because the question there is, will New Japan and Impact be forgotten about because of AEW and NXT? But which of those stars do you want to see go to those companies and ignore what's going on over here? Impact and New Japan will still get coverage on this channel. Absolutely. Of course they will.
Yeah. And I think wider people are still into...
Oh, totally.
The people who are into New Japan are into New Japan. Like.
And the people who are into Impact are going to be with Impact through and through. I mean, there are people who have seen that company through some dark, dark times and have stuck with it.
Well, and also the move that to access is only going to put them in more homes and bring them out to more people. So it could actually be more beneficial to them for NXT and AEW to be on Wednesday nights and bring wrestling... Like, wrestling now is starting to feel like a... wider ocean rather than a pond with one big off with like big massive fish goose. In it going we've been playing our fucking goose game it just makes wrestling feel like it's this thing that you need to have all of this knowledge of, so people will be looking for Impact in New Japan to get their fix.
And in answer to your question, who would I like to see from Impact or New Japan go to either AEW, WWE? Sami Callihan to AEW. Thank you very much.
Sami Callihan to NXT.
He's already done that.
Yeah,
one,
I know,
though.
But I want it as like a,
like proper Sami,
as like Sami Callihan,
not Solomon Crowe.
Yeah, I want it like this is what I should have been.
Yeah, totally.
Or Juice.
Yeah, or Juice.
Never go back.
Anthony James said, actually another one, Will Ospreay in AEW as well.
Oh, Will Ospreay.
Love him. Anthony James.
Will Ospreay in WWE.
Anthony James says, hey guys, keep up the good work. I came across an old Cyber Sunday pay-per-view on the network this week and I really enjoyed it. Pretty much forgot they did these shows. After giving this some thought, I can't believe they haven't brought this pay-per-view back or even one similar with a different name, as I think this day and age of the internet and social media, it's bigger than ever. And WWE have a lot of followers on Twitter and YouTube and other platforms, as well as the wrestlers having thousands of followers themselves. Would you like to see this kind of pay-per-view come back once a year and put the choice into the audience hand, which is pretty much what Vince and the rest of the family said would happen back when Raw, back on Raw, which never materialized. Well, fun fact for you, a lot of those numbers were effectively staged. You know, just fudged. It's wrestling. And it doesn't
love
need to
a number
be real.
Fudge.
Some of them were genuine because there was that period in time where they were really building towards a certain match. I think it was the tag feud. I think it was like Spirit Squad versus Ric Flair, and like the idea would be they were going to pick a Ric Flair's partner, and there was like one partner they were really pushing everyone towards, but they picked Roddy Piper. And it was like, oh, now we've got to send Piper out there, and Piper is not in a good shape to win this at all.
Do you think with these sorts of things, in the same way that they have to have on like paid promotion stuff on TV, you have to have the little paid promotion thing, wrestling should have a little K for like if it's kayfabe or not. So when someone's saying like there are 100,000 fans in the arena, kayfabe.
But yeah, I could certainly see the Cyber Sunday model returning. Mm-hmm. Not sure I'd like it to return. It's not like I'm desperate to see it return, but I can certainly see it return. Shaya again says, since it doesn't look like there will be an Evolution 2, what would be the main event? I think it would be a fatal four-way between the WWE horsewomen.
I think they would, yeah. You've still got a couple of years of building pay-per-views around them.
I think that's the Mania main event. I think that's the Mania main event next year is the four horsewomen.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. That'd be great.
I could
and
see
then
them
that's when Ronda returns.
Yeah. That's...
And wrecks house.
Yeah. I could see them doing... If they were to do an Evolution 2, it would be a tag match, tag main event. Yeah. Bayley and Banks versus Charlotte and Becky. I know they've done that on TV, but you do that in a full like pay-per-view scenario.
Yeah, and you do a stipulation probably.
Yeah, you do
well.
A stipulation around it, yeah. Let's have another question from Joe, who says, hi there, WrestleTalk, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, and SoCal Val. This is quite a... Oh my God, this is a very long question. But it's actually about the IWGP thing we were talking about last week with Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we can read all of this out, unfortunately, Joe, because that is a lot to do and we don't have all the time in the world to do it. I'll try and do it as quickly as I can. Brock Lesnar won the IWGP title in 2005 when money was in negotiations, blah, 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 blah. Brock spoke about this in his book. Actually, you know what? I wish we could go through this, but we just do not have time. It's basically, Lesnar was stripped of the title. Crikey.
It's a potted history.
It's a potted history.
Is there a question?
There is no, but there. I don't think there is a question at the end of it. Oh no, I can turn this into a mailbag question. Can you think of any other straight or stolen title or title unification stories from wrestling history? We've just had one with Chris Jericho's lost stolen AEW championship. Keep up the great work. Obviously the best wrestling podcast and YouTube channel out there. Thank you. I love you. Goodbye. I'm so sorry I couldn't read out that question in full, or the story in full.
A stolen championship thing I remember recently was the LAX versus the OG LAX stuff that Impact were doing, where they spray painted the belts.
Yes.
That was good.
That was good, yeah. I think in real life sort of title unification stuff, there was that one with Sexy Star in AAA. There was some like controversy around that. I can't quite remember the story. That was when I first joined. It was one of my first big stories I had to do. I remember to dive a lot into the research. But it was a couple of years ago now. I can't quite remember the ups and downs of it. Let's have a question from Shaya, who says, when Orange Cassidy joined AEW, people said, why are you hiring him? People said the show is going to be sports-based. There's going to be a lot of the wins and loss records, etc. Not everything has to be sports-based. Most of the stuff is, what's your opinion? Basically, what's your opinion on Orange Cassidy and AEW?
I like it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this quite a length on previous shows. I'm a big fan of Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
He is someone that you use sparingly.
Yeah,
you can't have him out on every show because the joke can run old, but it still works.
But you can have people like, I think the people are getting too caught up on the sports presentation side of it, meaning the wrestling has to be sports. Like, the wrestling is going to have a sport-ish presentation in which they might do, you know, like people like to do the Vaseline thing now.
Yeah.
And like check people's boots and all that kind of stuff. Like that kind of aspect of it. But I think it's more in the way in which the matches are told to you. The story of the match is given in sports and the wins and losses and that kind of thing feeling like it's important. I feel like saying that was them basically just saying, we're not going to do what WWE does and just be like, oh, he's come back. He's a monster. He should have a go. And whereas then you can build into feuds where it feels like, well, this person feels deserving of this title.
Because they've got all these title wins. Or they've got all these wins under their belt. So they're kind of like, they've moved up the ranks.
Yeah, in order exactly. I like rankings. I think rankings are fun. I like the, you know, a lot of the WWE games still have like rankings for the different titles, and you can watch yourself work your way up to the number one contendership. That's a lot of fun.
And I think that Orange Cassidy can still work in that format. You just got to use him sparingly.
Well, that's the thing. You could tell a story of Orange Cassidy not even wanting to rise up the ranks, but he somehow does, and he gets into the number one contendership spot, and he's like, I don't want to be here.
Scott asks, he says, good evening, gents. Well, it's evening there when he wrote this. He's currently playing the Final Fantasy VIII Remaster while paying attention to Raw on my iPad. As I was reliving being 15 again, playing this game in the midst of the Monday Night Wars after WCW was more or less taking a dive, I began to wonder what other wrestling boom could there be. Another wrestling boom. This was very interesting. I brought this up, this message up on a previous, I think it was on Raw's episode, because I think it's a very interesting point. I know there are a lot of hope on behalf of a lot of people that the emergence of AEW, but is this just a pipe dream? A failure to realize that the wrestling boom and what it really was. It had little or nothing to do with wrestling as a sport, and more with doing pushing the limit on what was deemed acceptable storytelling. Austin swearing and drinking beer, the NWO's disrespect for authority, the gratuitous use of women's bodies. It was all a metamorphosis from the cartoon era that drew in a generation of fans growing up on South Park, Beavis and Butthead, and The Simpsons. They were extremely edgy content at the time. My parents forebode me from watching them initially. I'm running out of characters, so is this just a mirage? Diehards looking for validation of the sport we love, or is good wrestling really going to attract more fans? Personally, I think most LAP fans were never there for the wrestling, just the rebellious nature of the era.
Ooh.
That is such a fascinating way to look at it.
But the wrestling was very different in that era anyway.
It was so barely any wrestling.
I think that's the thing, is like there was a lot of story. Yeah. I think the benefit of now is that you probably can have both. I think NXT is quite a good example of being able to be like, this is something that has good story, has good characters, but still manages to have really good wrestling matches in it. Like,
But I think Scott has got an interesting point there, and one that I do agree with, that a lot of the lapsed fans, those, you know, lapsed fans that people have always been trying to find back again, those 6 million people that were watching wrestling on Monday nights, where have they all gone to? Most of them probably weren't interested in wrestling. They weren't entertained by the wrestling matches. They just liked the characters. Yeah. They just liked the characters doing the things the characters were doing, because at the time, TV was about the shock nature of things. It was Howard Stern. It was Jerry Springer. It was South Park. And it was pushing the boundaries. And so people were just part of that sort of rebellious spirit. I think Scott got an excellent point there.
There was also a lot less to watch.
Well, yeah, maybe.
There's loads more to watch.
They were, you know, they were tuning in because they were like, oh, I hope I get to see Trish Stratus in her underwear this week. They're all Cockneys, obviously.
Yeah.
But now they're not going to look
fabulous.
They're not going to watch now and be like, oh, I don't want to see him actually do some wrestle, though. I want to see him get in their underwear. I mean, we see comments from that. People's like, I hope they bring back bra and panties matches. That's what real wrestling's about. I think it's
to each their own.
To each their own. I think that's an excellent point, Scott. I really, really enjoyed that. That guy who wants to support says, hello there, big brave boys. Now that the draft is coming back and hopefully an actual brand split, would you like to see WWE also bring back the brand exclusive pay-per-views? Only this time not to a month, because that was stupid. Have a great day. Keep on being happy.
No. I would like the pay-per-views to remain a point at which all of WWE, it's the nexus of all of WWE.
It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, the best of all the worlds is what I want. It's because it wasn't just the best of both worlds recently, is it? It's because the cruiserweights have been on the pre-show.
Three
worlds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that doesn't count.
It does.
I quite like the joint pay-per-views. It is one of those things where guys and girls get less time. Like, I think when you are in the sort of brand exclusive periods, more guys and more girls do get a chance to be featured on pay-per-views and things like that. The problem is you also then get Baron Corbin versus Sami Zayn matches where you, and sometimes when you're watching the brand exclusive pay-per-views, you're like, this just feels like an episode of the show.
Yeah.
It feels like an extended episode of SmackDown.
I just think there should be more opportunity for feuds to spill across the brands. Like, I've always thought it's silly that Survivor Series is the only time it's like, we do any of the people versus the other people thing. It's like, why wouldn't you do that all the time? Surely, like, that makes pay-per-views a proposition, like a selling point that Raw and SmackDown aren't. There's a reason to buy into a pay-per-view because you can see people from here that you really like versus people from here that you really like, and that shouldn't happen on these shows.
Yeah. I'd keep that only to one night a year. Mm. So I think Survivor Series can work. It's just what Survivor Series is lacking is stakes.
Raw wins.
Well, yeah, it's
yeah, Raw.
My issue always with Survivor Series is that for 4 weeks, everyone on Raw and SmackDown cares about brand supremacy and brand loyalty. And then as soon as the show's over, they're like, no, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear
any more of these t-shirts.
It's just a pointless 4 week story. It's a distraction.
Seth Rollins got a great t-shirt.
Chopper Pete, number 3 fan, says, what happens when The Fiend wins the titles? Should he still attack other wrestlers? The champion is normally targeted, not the other way around. So essentially, what will you do with The Fiend once he wins the belt?
God, I don't know. This is the thing. This is why I didn't want him to be in this title picture this quickly. I felt like he had a trajectory in something that he was doing, and now they've just gone, blah, 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 champion.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do with him now? If he wins, what are you going to do? Who's he going to harass?
Bray Wyatt and The Fiend is an interesting character for me because this is the first time in, I don't know, a long, long time where I actually don't want to try and predict what's going to happen with Bray.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about what's next for The Fiend. I just want to see it happen.
Yeah.
I just want to have it washed all over me. I just want to let him in. And I just want to I want to tune in every week and be like, oh man, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. As opposed to being like, I hope they do this or I think they should do this.
Yeah, I'm very interested. I think Bray's the sort of person who would have ideas of what he wants to do with this. And I'm hoping it makes sense because I just think at the moment, the Universal title doesn't feel like a goal that The Fiend or Bray Wyatt ever set out in front of them as like a thing they wanted to do. So it's like, to now just be in this match, it kind of just feels like, oh, this is just the company sticking their oar in now.
And I think there's a difference between, because I'm sure some people could point out the box to me, we were fantasy booking and speculating in the first part of this show. But that is fantasy booking and speculation with facts that are being presented towards you. Well, I don't want to be here saying like, well, I hope The Fiend feuds with The Undertaker. Well, I hope The Fiend feuds with Aleister Black. Well, I hope The Fiend feuds with this person. I'm like, I just want to see who they pick next. And then I want to start like speculating on that feud and that storyline. Brandon asks, he says, hello everyone, seeing Becky Lynch potentially moving back over to SmackDown, would that mean that Rollins is moving over too since they are engaged? Vince likes to keep couples together, so The Fiend winning the Universal title is confirmed at Hell in a Cell. P.S. here is a compliment to everyone. Luke's tasty music is chef's kiss. Ollie's smile is infectious. Laurie's voice is soothing. Pete looks amazing for his age, having so many birthdays. And Randy, I said his name. But seriously, much love to you all. Well, thank you very, very much.
And Randy.
So yeah, so the question being, with Becky Lynch probably moving over to SmackDown, will Seth go as well?
Probably.
I can see Rollins staying on Raw.
Yeah, I mean...
I think Raw still needs... Like, you can't just take everyone and put them on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think it's... Do you know what, like, Becky's going back... Yeah, Becky's going to SmackDown, sure, but... Hasn't stopped Becky being on SmackDown while she's on Raw now, has it? It hasn't stopped, like, you know, I think they've got such a shallow pool of very high-tier female talent that they're going to have to rotate them round through the brands because people don't care about Lacey Evans.
Yeah, or Naomi.
Yeah, or Naomi. Or, like, Natalya, even. Yeah. Like, you know, someone who's got, like, at least a legacy that's relevant to wrestling fans, and they still can't make people be like, wow, I can!
Can't wait to see a Natalya match. Martin, thank you very much for your... He sent in a very, very long fantasy booking for The Fiend involving The Undertaker, shockingly enough. Dwayne says, chop of the Saturday. Ollie, if you are on the weekend ramble this week, I asked last week, who's the end of... Okay, so it's the same question he asked last week, but it's for Ollie. Ollie's not here again this week because Ollie doesn't care about the fans anymore. Sold out. I'm joking, obviously.
Luke and Ollie are feuding. just a thing we do.
It's just a thing we do. Ollie Davis, number one fan and the best jobber in the world, says, Hello everyone from WrestleTalk. I just watched the SmackDown Live Wrestle Ramble. I have an idea I want to share with the world. You working towards a goal where you're going to put on your own wrestling show. If you do have your own wrestling show, segment idea, a wrestling wedding where Pete and his fiance get married. You let Vince Russo write the segment. Never too much bubbly for a wedding.
We let Vince Russo do it. Hopefully Vince Russo hasn't seen Screen Grapple when we ask him.
I mean, obviously the wrestling show is still a little way off. You've got to reach our 1,500 patrons, mm-hmm. which we're not at yet. So I think when we do put on a show, it will be quite a straight-laced wrestling show. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a wedding, though. I wonder if we could talk Pete into doing the wedding.
I think we could at least do his birthday.
Yeah.
As it will be his birthday that day.
We could definitely get one of us ordained. And officiate.
I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
I'll go and do it now. I wasn't planning on doing anything else this afternoon.
Yep. Captain of the Boogs Cruise, James J. Dillon, has got a Fiend booking idea. Everyone's really into it. Fantasy booking. And that's because the Fiend's cool.
Yeah.
So I like that people are excited to fantasy book ideas for him. So thank you very much for sending those in. We haven't really got time to read out fantasy booking ideas.
But you know what? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's funny that the Fiend did to Bray Wyatt is what the Demon is to Finn Balor. And people weren't fantasy booking the Demon to the same degree because the Demon wasn't. It wasn't any different. It was just Finn Balor in paint.
That's because they turned it into a character, which it didn't really need to be. It was a total main roster thing.
I think they should have turned it into a character. They should have made it a proper character. Like,
I didn't get on board with it. Granted, I mean, you're right that they didn't think it through whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I also don't think it needs to be a character. Like, when he was in NXT, I never saw him put out the face paint and be like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Why is he wearing face paint now? Because, as you say, he wasn't really wrestling any different.
No, but you just say it's like war paint then. You just go like, he wears this because it's...
Exactly, it's a big
aspect
show.
The dark aspect of his personality. It's a big show.
He doesn't need to be the Demon.
But if you are going to do the Demon, make him a different guy.
Yeah, well, like, exactly, yeah.
Mate, you can't just do the whole match doing this and be like, well, he's a different man now.
Blah. Alex says, great show, fellas. So, WTF have they done with Bobby Roode? It makes my pee boil because it's literally the easiest call-up to do. Just keep the exact same character he was in NXT. He's a legit main eventer. This has got a lot of exclamation marks in it as well. He's very, very angry. I mean, his piss is boiling. That's how angry he is. That's all they had to do. It's so effing simple. How can someone get booked so effing poorly since stepping up to the main roster? He is the worst booked NXT call-up in history, and there is absolutely no way of him coming back. So my question to this, when is Chopper's real birthday?
Don't know.
It was last month, I think.
Can't remember.
But seriously, discuss Bobby Roode. I don't think he's the worst NXT call-up.
No. It's weird. What's weird about Bobby Roode is he was definitely the sort of person that you looked at him and you were like, surely Vince loves him. Like, surely. Like, he's got a big entrance. He's quite an old school, like,
wrestler.
Yeah. I don't know why they haven't pushed him. Because that was the thing. I didn't really get on with Bobby Roode in NXT. Like, I liked the entrance.
Oh, no, I loved
him. I didn't
think
he was, like, as good a champion as all the other ones at that period of time. So I was sort of like, nah.
I loved him in NXT. I think in terms of, like, worst NXT call-ups than Bobby Roode, Tyler Breeze is a really embarrassing one. Shinsuke Nakamura is someone you should have made a lot of money from. Like, giving him the Royal Rumble win and then just doing nothing off the back of that, I think is a complete balls up.
But yeah, well, like, and we're all discussing now, go with what's hot.
Yeah.
There was nothing hotter than Shinsuke Nakamura at that moment in time when he lost to AJ.
Yeah. And
it's like, okay, yeah, cool.
Andrade, I think, is another one they completely dropped the ball with. Sanity. Completely dropped the ball with them.
The list goes on. The list goes on and on. Finn Balor, tried to pull the trigger on, failed, and then went, nah, we'll never pull that again.
Yeah.
That clearly doesn't work.
Damn you, shoulder separation. Chuck Turner says, chop of the morning, afternoon, evening, and night to you, fellas. With the possibility of The Fiend winning the Universal Championship and Brock Lesnar winning the WWE Championship, given how Lesnar's contract is set up with limited dates and the way The Fiend's been booked, WWE have been basically hit the same way. My question is, do you think not having both top champions on the show every week will hurt the product or not? Thanks for a lovely time with the boys, and have a hashtag little bit of the bubbly. So that's an interesting question, because The Fiend has been kept off TV because they want to make him feel like a special attraction. So you're going to be keeping your Universal Champion off TV.
Again, don't book into this corner.
But also with Brock, he also, I mean, maybe he's got different dates now because of the Fox deal, but he's also not going to be featuring. So yeah, to Chuck's point, both titles are going to be disappeared. Well, disappeared. They're going to be gone. You go on.
But Bray can still appear. The Fiend doesn't have to appear, but Bray can still appear.
Yeah.
And do all the Firefly Funhouse stuff. The problem with Brock doing it, it was just it's contracted, he doesn't really care. Mm. He doesn't really want to be the champion. They left it on him for too long. They dropped the ball massively on the Brock Lesnar thing, and that has tainted everyone's opinion of like the champion being unavailable.
Yeah.
I think sometimes champions should be unavailable. Like Adam Cole in NXT hasn't been on every NXT since he won the belt. In fact, it took him multiple weeks to come back to TV on NXT mm-hmm. to make an appearance, and they just did the championship tour thing.
Yeah.
And then built a story out of that leading up to TakeOver, and then did that decide a match?
Totally, yeah. I think you're right on that one. I think with Lesnar as well, or rather with Bray, actually, no, sorry, with Lesnar, the problem with his title run was that when he wasn't there, there was like barely a mention of it. I mean, it felt like no one was really gunning for anything. There was no one gunning for a number one contendership. There was no one trying to get Lesnar back. It was just, he's gone, so we're just going to do different
things. Then they overcorrected by having everyone go, oh, Lesnar's not here. Yeah. Oh, typical, Lesnar's not here.
Yeah, it's exactly. Don't
say that, but you can have people feuding over the number one contendership and then be like, well, Brock only has big money matches. Film some things with Brock when he comes in for the day.
Yeah, like, exactly. Do more with him.
Film a couple of sit-down interviews that be like, I'm not coming in until you found someone who's worthy of having a match with me. Make it feel like he cares, even though he doesn't.
Ryan B. Bad says, I'll play devil's advocate for a second. AJ squashing Cedric Alexander at Clash of Champions was the right move. Ooh. Controversial. Hear me out with this. Even though I do agree that Cedric deserves better than that, it was the right move for AJ. He is arguably your top heel on Raw and the second most meaningful men's title on Raw. You need to make him look like a top bill star and a credible challenger for the Universal Championship down the road. You do that by beating lower card guys in a somewhat dominant fashion, and for better or worse, Cedric is nowhere near AJ's level on Raw yet. He's only got his title shot because he pinned the champ in a 10-man tag, something you always say is a bad way of booking a title shot. Would you rather diminish your top heel to make Cedric look good in defeat, or continue to make AJ as a credible threat down the line? You can have it both ways.
Yeah.
AJ still, because AJ's AJ. He's always going to seem like a top title contender. Mm. If he dropped the US title and then the next week said, I'm going after the Universal Championship, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure.
You wouldn't say,
you want Mr. Styles.
Exactly. You wouldn't look at me like, oh, well, but you did make Cedric look good in that one match. So
yeah.
I think you can definitely have it both ways.
I think the problem is they've not quite decided with Cedric what they're doing with him.
Oh, burying him. That's the decision.
Well, that's the thing, is they're burying him now, but then a week before they were building him, and a week before that they were building him weirdly, and then they were building him even more weirdly, and then they weren't doing anything with him. So it's that sort of, it's the trajectory of the story. It's like, it's fine if you want to break Cedric all the way down and then build him back up later because you want to just like bury him as part of the story, but just burying him because Vince has turned around and gone, oh, bury him.
Don't like him.
I don't like him. Bury him.
Yeah. He's a dream. He had a dog.
Yeah. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. I think you can have it both ways. Blake Lloyd says, WWE have booked themselves into a bigger corner. Talking actually of Brock Lesnar versus The Fiend. I cannot see Vince having Brock lose to anyone for a while when he's going to be the top star of SmackDown on Fox. That's actually a very interesting point to the conversation, is SmackDown is going to be the bigger show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legit, it's going to be the bigger show. Michael Cole's going to be announcing it. So clearly, they think it's going to be the A show.
Yep.
So on the bigger channel, it's going to be drawing in the bigger audience. So yeah, you don't want Brock losing at all. Or looking pants.
Mm-hmm. Don't put the match. That's what I say.
Well, yep. This comes in from Chris, who says, you mentioned that someone theorized that WWE was only popular in the 90s because it was shock TV, going back to Scott's earlier point. I believe the popularity was deeper than that. The mindset in the 90s was counterculture. counterculture and anti-establishment, especially in America after the Cold War. Everything from movies to music was counterculture, with films like Fight Club and American Beauty basically telling you that the worst thing in the world was to be stuck behind a desk in a capitalist world. Still true to this day. Apart from Fight Club, you've got to remember that Tyler Durden is not the hero of that movie. Very important to remember that he's not the hero. Brief history and sociology lecture aside, I've read that Austin vs. McMahon feud got over as successfully as it did because it was booked in the right decade. Everyone, including Austin himself, has said that everyone watching back then wants to beat up their boss. WWE have convinced themselves that's a timeless storyline that they can use to get everyone over. Remember Roman versus McMahon. But the mindset of a 21st century is less counterculture, and so the evil boss storyline doesn't quite ring as true as it did 20 years ago. My question, if I'm even asking one at this point, is do you agree that the babyface standing up to the evil boss storyline has become outdated even when booked well? Absolutely, because yeah. Owens versus McMahon has gotten over like a fart in a church.
They would do better off doing Owens joins Shane McMahon's startup. And then it all goes badly, yeah. And Shane McMahon takes his shares.
Yeah, but you are right. The Vince is... Because Austin versus Vince was the biggest story they've ever done ever, that they're like, well, we'll just do that again. Because clearly, I can get people over as a heel, or a McMahon can get someone over a heel. So we'll do Daniel Bryan versus McMahon's in the form of Triple H. Mm-hmm. We'll do Roman versus Vince. We'll do Owens versus Shane. It's just that's their template stuff.
Yeah.
But it has never got over to the point that Austin did, well, because it was done at the right time.
And they've confused authority figure with McMahon.
Well, yeah.
And that's the, I think that's the other thing. It's like it wasn't just Mr. McMahon was an amazing character. It was like... It was just he happened to be a boss.
Yeah.
And Austin happened to be a kind of once-in-a-lifetime talent.
100%, yeah. Martin says, hi, guys. I've got two questions for you. Do you think that Bischoff is telling people to feed Dave false info to prove a point and validate his podcast? Dave's two faux pas have both been SmackDown-related. Also, Luke, what did you think of progress at Ali Pally? I think that's absolutely on the... 100%. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the goal since they started doing the Pritchard podcast. It's to make Meltzer look... uncredible, so they can then say he's reporting things wrong and people will stop listening to what he has to say, even when he has been reporting things very, very correctly
for many years,
for 60 years. You cannot deny that Meltzer is a credible journalist. Like, to this point, if you are still at this point where you're like Meltzer makes everything up, you're lying to yourself. But I think that they have had a very, very smart business plan of feeding him false information, getting multiple people to feed him the same false information so that he is corroborating with his sources to then print out falsehoods. And then they can point to him and say, look, told you he's making everything up.
Yeah. But also, it's not Dave Meltzer going, I have dug in and got these documents and found this information out. He's going, people said this stuff about the story. From having heard this story or whatever from someone else. It's like, it's all Chinese whispers.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not... That's what the wrestling business is, basically. It's people in a room go, should we do this idea? And someone goes, yeah, okay, they're talking about this idea. And he's like, okay, cool. That could change in the time that you've had the conversation, or the time you've printed the thing or said the thing out loud. So,
and in a world like WWE, where things change on a dime anyway. Mm. Like, according to the Luke Harper story...
For no reason!
The Luke Harper story, apparently, is that it was Friday... He was told, oh, you need to come to Clash of Champions, which, was like, and it was Thursday that Meltzer reported that they had no interest in bringing Harper back.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre, bizarre world that is almost impossible to report on anyway.
Yeah. It's because they were like, how do we make Roman lose? It's got to be two guys.
But I find the Pritchard and... Pritchard, I think, is the best for it because Bischoff is just outright. Now he makes everything up. The death of WCW, despite the fact that everyone else who's worked for WCW has corroborated the stories from the death of WCW, Bischoff is still sitting there going like, no, it's all made up lies.
Mm.
But Pritchard has got I think he's the funniest one at doing it because Conrad will read a segment from the Wrestling Observer 20 years ago. And Pritchard will say, this was right, this was right, this was right, this was right, this was right. He made this thing up. He makes up 100% of his stories. That doesn't work, mate. No. You literally just agreed with everything that was written down and then said, but that one thing was wrong. So he makes up everything.
Yeah.
Well, clearly he doesn't.
No. And also works in an industry in which rumor is all you have.
Yeah.
Especially at that time when everyone was just lying to the fans, lying to everyone else.
Yeah. Dan, the mayor of Paintsville, says, hello, WrestleTalk. Any chance that you guys could move the NXT Ramble to Fridays? Because then the international audience would also have seen it on the WWE Network rather than the USA Network. So we sort of discussed this on the NXT podcast. Oh, actually, I didn't answer the other question about what I think of Ali Pally. If you go back and do the progress, oh, sorry, the progress, the NXT podcast we did this week. I went into some details on there. I don't want to go into too many details because I don't want to give away spoilers. I don't think the show's aired yet on Demand Progress. Suffice to say, I had a lot of fun and I very, very much enjoyed myself at the show. The Rumble was one of the funnest Rumbles I've ever seen in my life. I was crying with laughter at two different points. I had popped so loud for one of the entrants towards the end. The crowd erupted. It was just absolutely wonderful.
I've seen the clip on Twitter.
Oh my God, it was so good. But I think some of the other matches, it was a good show. I very much enjoyed it. Very angle heavy, I would say. But back to Dan's question about moving the NXT Ramble to Fridays. The problem, Dan, is that you are right. By Thursday, the whole world will have seen the two-hour version. Mm-hmm. However, the majority of our audience, like 60, 70%, is American.
Yeah.
And so we almost have to serve the higher master.
We are racing everyone else.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
You could always just watch it on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to just watch it. Just don't watch it live.
Hey.
Yeah. Lorenzo Hayes, that's the beauty of YouTube. It's there forever. It's there in perpetuity. Lorenzo Hayes says, to Luke, why is Raven your favorite wrestler of all time? I don't know much about him, but you're not the first person I've heard called him their favorite. This is to Ollie, but I'll pass it to you instead. Do you like watermelon or strawberries more?
Watermelon.
Mm.
Watermelon, you like a bit of water. Watermelon's delicious.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
It's like a solid drink. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So hydrating.
Why is Raven my favorite wrestler of all time? Because I dressed like Raven. Essentially, the terrible argument that I've always had is that when I saw Raven for the first time, I was like, oh my God, he looks just like me. Because I was just wearing the same band t-shirt and the ripped jeans and everything. I was like, oh my God, I'm Raven.
That's so me.
That's so, so Raven. And so I was just like, I just instantly gravitated towards him. And then I love his promos. I love his promo style. His feud with CM Punk when they were in Ring of Honor. Oh my God, it's some of the best stuff ever. Some of Punk's best work. Some of Raven's best work. And I was a huge ECW mark back in the late 90s. So it was just, oh my God, I just fell in love with him. And I was like, he's the best. And then he came into the WWF and they didn't do great things with him. But that's why. He's not the best wrestler in the world.
No, but I think
he's a great master of telling a story.
But I think he's that exact same thing of like the era was right when Raven came through. He was very counterculture and very anti-establishment, but then he was also in a hardcore brand, which other people felt was even more anti-establishment than being like, I like WWF. No, I like this alternative thing that less people like.
Good
timing for Raven.
You're right. Great timing for Raven. He is a great storyteller. He has great attire and he is a great sort of master of sort of manipulation and he's a great promo. He probably will never have a 5-star match and he can't do a podcast to save his life.
Yeah.
God bless him. God love him. I love Raven. He's my favorite wrestler ever. His podcast is fucking awful. And that comes from someone who doesn't do a great podcast themselves. Razman Reality says, hello, boys. On my favorite YouTube channel, In Ring Reality, I'm doing a video. Oh, sorry. On my YouTube channel, In Ring Reality,
It's
probably your favorite, yeah. To celebrate NXT's new era with the top 5 WWE stars to begin their career in NXT. And it got me thinking, is Becky... Of course, it's a Becky question, Raz. Mm. That's all you ever ask is Becky questions. Is Becky the most successful WWE star to never win the NXT championship? I can't think of anyone else who's gone on to success that never held at least one. I think it could be awesome for her to go back and capture the one championship she's never had. I don't know, but if they did, it would be awesome. Do you guys agree? Also, just wondering, did I somehow miss my shout out this month? I haven't had my name yet. I think you have had yours this month. I'd need to go back and check, but I'm pretty sure you've had yours this month already. In fact, actually, while you're asking that question, I will just double check.
So should Becky go back to NXT and capture the title?
Well, it's just, or is she the most successful NXT call-up to have never held a championship in NXT?
Ooh, who else is there from NXT that's not really...
Baron Corbin, he's King of the Ring. Elias, he never won a title.
Becky definitely is the most successful.
No way, Jose.
Becky headlined WrestleMania.
Exactly, yeah.
And won 2 belts.
Yeah, she was Becky 2 belts.
Yeah, no, yeah. Becky easily is the most successful she's probably the most successful NXT call-up ever. Like,
yeah,
like she's definitely like top five.
Oh yeah, definitely top five. Yeah, which for sure. I don't know if you have had your shout out this month yet, Raz. I did a bit more time to look into that, but I'll have another further look.
Probably
into
a bit
it.
Easier to be one of the more successful NXT call ups in the women's side of things.
Oh though. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a lot less people.
Yeah.
So like you know like Sasha Banks has had huge success in terms of how many titles she's had. Done nothing with them.
Yeah,
like, she's had a lot of titles. Charlotte's had loads. Charlotte gets the belt every other week.
She might get it again very soon.
Yeah.
Reese says, hello, my lovely boys, having a lovely time under the watchful eye of our glorious King Chopper Whopper. I hope this finds you all well. Excuse me. So with the assumption that Survivor Series will be Raw versus SmackDown, the potential top title matches could have Kofi versus Seth, Kofi versus Fiend, Brock versus Seth, Brock versus Fiend. What match would you like to see the most? Kind of what we discussed in the opening portion of this show. Personally, I'd like to see the Fiend versus Kofi, as I feel the interactions between Bray and the New Day offers the best build, since going in the past they've been able to sell the Fiend as a terrifying threat. And I'm least interested in Brock versus Fiend, since I doubt Brock will take it seriously or lose, and making the Fiend potential feel silly. Kind regards from Reese.
I think the only issue I have with the Fiend New Day thing, and I think they'll do amazing stuff, is we've just had Randy Revival.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just had, like, every story they tell with the New Day is somebody breaks down the New Day and then they challenge Kofi and that makes them the hardest challenger yet. And it's like, if they're just going to do that story every single time,
yeah,
it is boring.
It is boring.
Whereas you could have saved it for The Fiend.
Yeah.
If this was ever the if you ever planned ahead more than a month, WWE, God forbid, you could have thought about this and been like, well, this would be a really good story to do with The Fiend, because The Fiend could easily attack and take out Xavier and Big E in the lead up to a Kofi match, putting all the pressure on Kofi for this Survivor Series thing, because not only is it like, you got to do it for your mates, you got to do it for SmackDown, you got to do it for the honor of this championship, that there's so much more in that than being like, oh, Randy Orton and the Revival might beat you.
In answer to your question, the one I'm most interested in is Fiend versus Brock, because that's got so much. But I totally get why that's not the most captivating idea for people, because, like, as you say, Fiend versus Kofi does sound good.
Fiend versus Kofi sounds good, but it still feels like a foregone conclusion. I just think the Brock thing leaves the door open to at least sit there being like, well, they could go anyway.
Yeah. And lastly, Raz, your shout-out will be on the SmackDown show. I've just worked that out. This comes in from Kenny, who says, Kenny Jeffrey, I should say, not Macintosh, to say, hi, guys, hope this question finds you well. With the first hour of NXT being shown exclusively on the USA Network, at least for the first 2 weeks, and the full show not being available to outside the US until the next day, do you think that WWE has gone too state-centric on the wrestling industry? Presumably, AEW on TNT, or whatever it'll be known as, it's actually going to be known as AEW Dynamite, we now know, will air the day and date in all territories, e.g. on ITV4 here in the UK. Do you think this will lead to a heightened popularity of All Elite outside of America, like the TNA enjoyed in the early 2010s? Either way, it'll be a great time to be a wrestling fan. Let's all celebrate with a little bit of the bubbly. Thank you for the consistency, Kenny.
It's one of those interesting things with that, though, as well, because WWE said, we're going to war. And they have viewed the war in the same way that they viewed the war in the 90s with WCW. Like, they've viewed it that exact same logical, like, it's a ratings war. It's not a ratings war. It's like, because ratings only count in America.
Yeah.
Like, this is a global brand war. Like, there are millions and millions of wrestling fans outside of the US that you could be selling your product to. And WWE only ever seemingly moves into other territories when they're like, well, we just need to snuff out whatever's going on over here. Let's just strangle this until it shuts up.
Brit rest.
Yeah.
No, the Brit wrestling scene's not dead. Pete Dunne keeps telling me
it's
so.
Fine.
Pete Dunne keeps telling me Brit wrestling's fine. That's why he's gone to America.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was safer for him.
I do agree that I think particularly this NXT thing, because this was clearly, like, they just wanted to put out something that was going to counter AEW.
Yeah.
And they're only doing it in America. Even in Canada. Like, it's not going to be on USA Network in Canada. It's still, like, it's only in America that it's going against AEW. Yeah. Everywhere else, NXT the day after.
Yeah.
It's such a weird, weird thing to have done. And, like, the report is at the moment that they had the option of going, you know, wait until Suits is finished. Then you can just have your 2 hours. But they wanted to have a 2-week lead-in on AEW before they started.
Yeah, they wanted
to. But they took the out. They took the really difficult option of having an hour on one network and an hour on another network, which in turn broke their network because too many people tried to tune into it.
Yeah.
Good going, guys, I guess.
They're just, it's just...
But it's not a competition. It's just, they're not at war.
It's just a bit childish, isn't it? It's like, you already are the biggest thing. Like, they were never going to be bigger than you. Mm. They probably weren't even going to steal a portion of your audience. They were just going to have a portion of your audience that also watched what they're doing. And that's going to happen anyway. It doesn't matter how much counter-programming you do.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a dwindling audience... There's an audience for wrestling. Like, it might grow because AEW exists. You never know.
Yeah.
Like,
and on the UK side of things, I think AEW will do very, very well here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm being very facetious. Brit wrestling is not dead. There are so many good wrestlers in the British independent scene.
Mm-hmm.
In Rev Pro, in NGW, in Frontline, in WrestleGate Pro, there are so many good British wrestlers out there. You know, around this country, it's absolutely fascinating.
And if AEW is not bothered about having exclusive contracts with people, then they can feature them as well, exactly. In a way the WWE can't.
But they can come over here and be like, look, we got Omega, the Bucks, blah blah blah, and people aren't going to go and flood to those shows because the problem is that with the British wrestling scene that they've got at the moment is that all of the top guys, the ones that sell tickets, weren't or aren't allowed to be featured. We've talked about this many times before. Mm-hmm. We've spoken to a lot of British wrestlers who aren't allowed to work certain shows because of WWE UK, because of the NXT brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to do certain shows. They're not allowed to work with certain people. Storylines have had to be cancelled because of NXT UK. It has had, I'd argue, a damaging effect on the British wrestling scene. But AEW can just be here and be like, look, we've also got these top stars.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell out shows. The problem though, like, Progress is a great example of this in terms of, like, the Brit wrestling scene. That Chapter 95, the one that's just gone, that sold out. And that sold out because it had Mustache Mountain, it had Pete Dunne, it had Riddle, it had Keith Lee, it had Walter on it. Previously, and other chapters, they've not sold out because they haven't had those names on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to, like, build this new generation of people. Maybe this is where AEW can, like, thrive in the UK scene. Because Impact thrived in the UK because we didn't have a British wrestling scene, really, at that point. It was very much in its infancy, and it was trying to grow.
Yep.
Impact came over, and you're like, oh, my God, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Mick Foley. And you're like, oh, my God, now we've got to go watch these shows because the stars have come.
Yeah, the big people have turned up. Like, the thing is that when they do Raw and SmackDown over here, it's, like, what, once or twice a year?
Yeah, but those shows don't really sell out.
And they don't really sell out because... Yeah. It's Raw and SmackDown.
Well, yeah, quite. I saw we run off a bit of a tangent there. I think I might have lost my initial points now. I do apologize. Anyway, James Huntley says, are you excited to hear all of these wrestlers and fitness people announcing that they play D&D to counter MJF? Also, when can we get your D&D podcast already? Seriously, just record your sessions and upload it.
Not simple. We play in a very noisy environment at the moment.
People playing bloody Jenga.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Yes. Yeah. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's,
also, we haven't got any time.
Yeah. Yeah, to edit the damn thing. But it has been really nice to see all of these wrestlers come forward and, like, you know, Joe Manganiello to say, like, well, I play D&D and look at me. Like, Nick Namath posted as well saying, like flexing, like, where do I learn to play D&D? You know, sort of stuff. It's been really fun, actually, to see how much D&D's been mentioned in the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
MJF's such a great heel.
Oh, yeah. His tweet did exactly what it was meant to do.
Oh, he's so good at working people. It's just wonderful. He's great. Eddie Brooks says, I feel WWE have kind of booked themselves to a corner with The Fiend. Like 90s, early 2000s Undertaker, I believe that he will be at his best when he's not saddled with the belt. He has to win at Hell in a Cell to not squander his momentum, but I think him having a title match at WrestleMania will do him no favours at all. So, how about this to get around the situation? Fiend wins at Hell in a Cell, then runs rampant for the next 3 months with successful defenses against challengers at Crown Jewel, Survivor Series, TLC, and the Royal Rumble. He's put in a 3 or 4 way where they can have it interrupted by someone targeting Fiend, Taker please, meaning he is not involved in the deciding pinfall, and he can focus on his new feud instead of doing the big WrestleMania blow-off. Thoughts?
I think you want to get him out of the title picture, like, ASAP, in my head, just because... I just don't think he needs it. I don't think it was on his list of things to care about. And now, then you've suddenly got to be like, can the Bray Wyatt character care about this belt now?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to make that... Because you have to make that seem important to him after he wins it. How are they going to do that?
It's a tricky one. I don't particularly like the idea of having the Fatal 4-Way and having him not in the deciding factor...
Yeah.
Because surely The Fiend would just want to win the title back again, even if it is The Undertaker that stops him. Like, you're still going to have The Fiend want to get the title back.
Yeah.
Because he never lost it.
I think you build him up to a big loss.
You need to have, like, when he loses the belt, it needs to be putting someone over, or being like,
massively,
I'm the person that beat The Fiend.
Cedric.
That's what it's building to. This is what's happening, Luke.
It's Cedric.
So I think you, yeah, if The Fiend is losing, it should be the person beating him for the title, and it should be, yeah, it should be a clean victory.
And yeah, it should be a massive deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Tattoo Coop Man is open with a Riley Reid joke. I've started my own rest talk, get better, but I'm skinny fat and have a dad bod, but without the children, so I don't know how to update you guys with progress. I'm training to make a comeback to Aussie Rules football, ball sports, next year after 10 years out. I'm a tattooer and I've had to give up footy for my career, but I'm really excited to play it again and be fit again. Anyways, thank you for contributing to my gym motivation and thank you for the consistent content. Shout out to all the swafters and the underswafters.
That's nice.
It wasn't even a mailbag question. Just want to send in a rest talk, get better. Lovely stuff. And lastly, Shea says, do you think Matt Riddle will take the belt off Adam Cole, or will it be Ciampa? And who's the next opponent for Johnny Gargano?
I don't think Riddle will take the belt off him.
I think
not in the match they're going to have in 2 weeks' time or whatever it is.
If Riddle wins, which I think Riddle will win.
Yeah, Riddle will win.
Yeah. So yeah, it's next week, isn't it? I think that it will be Tommaso Ciampa to take the belt off Cole. And that will be at the WrestleMania takeover next year.
And then
one year off when he was supposed to have defended the title.
Yeah.
One year off that he had to give the title up. It's just nice symmetry. You can have Cole on a bit of a run then with the belt, you know, almost a year-long run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then Ciampa's the guy to win the belt back, but this time as the babyface, the conquering babyface, Tommaso Ciampa. That's if I was fantasy booking, if I was speculating.
I mean, they probably need to change his music if he wants to be the kind of,
no one will survive. Hey, he's still going to get away with it.
No, you can't.
Everyone is friends.
Yeah.
I'm really happy-go-lucky. No one will survive. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be real to take the belt off him. But, what do you think?
I think Ciampa is the right choice. I really do think Ciampa is right. I think even heel Ciampa being like, well, I'm a bigger, badder heel than you are, yeah, mate.
So, I'm a bigger bellend than
you. I'm gonna make you suffer.
Yeah.
I think also you can't. Cole isn't enough of a heel in terms of just the way he's treated by NXT fans for people to back a really, really clean-cut babyface. As we found in the Johnny Gargano feud, like, people had already sort of moved when Johnny had his little wobble.
Yeah.
To be like, well, we quite like Adam Cole now. So the people were really torn about whether Johnny should win or Cole should win. And I think, actually, it'd be quite nice to have a kind of clear-cut definition. But you could do that by making Cole the de facto babyface and having Ciampa be the heel.
Yeah.
Because Ciampa is a much better heel. Cole's a great snivelling heel.
Yeah. And what do you think for Gargano? What do you want to see him do next?
God.
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
Maybe go for the North American title.
I'd keep him out of the title picture for the moment, yeah. I don't know. It's just, I'd actually...
But who would he feud with?
The Forgotten Sons.
Oh, well, that's quite fun.
As a way to like try and elevate that group.
You mean not Shane Thorne?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about elevating talent, elevate his generic music.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think the Forgotten Sons, they are an established act. But they need like a big push out of them. And you can have you can have Gargano running through the minions. You run through Blake and you run through Cutler to try and get to the unstoppable monster at the end of the road in Jackson Ryker. So yeah, I'd go Forgotten Sons.
That's a good shout. I think it's important probably actually to keep Gargano out of a title picture as well while you're doing stuff with Candice.
Yeah, yes.
Until you
yeah,
settle absolutely. On what you're doing with Candice.
Absolutely.
Keep Johnny out because... Funnily enough, every time Johnny's doing something, Candice doesn't get to do anything.
Yeah, absolutely exactly, mate. Speaking of which, I actually am going to see an old friend this weekend. I'm going back to my old stomping grounds of Reading. So if you are in the Reading area, keep an eye out for me. I'm going to be in Reading Town Centre in the boozers, having a couple of pints.
Getting
in.
Leery.
Well, I mean, I've got to get a train back to London, so I can't get too leery.
Yeah, sensibly leery.
getting sensible, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to
get responsible adult drunk.
and go to see one of my older friends, my oldest friends, really at this date it's like 9 years. Mm. But we're going to go for a couple of drinks. So I'm very looking forward to seeing him because I haven't seen him for a year, 18 months maybe was the last time I saw him.
Whoa.
No, that's not a lie. It was at my birthday, actually. That was the last time I saw him. It was at my birthday, my Stranger Things themed birthday party. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, I didn't really get a chance to chat with him because I had to chat to all of
too many
your bloody friends.
Too much. I didn't say invite them, did I?
Well, they're also my wife's bloody friends.
It's your fault.
And now they're my friends. Yeah. I really like this friendship group. I think George is smashing. I think Gary's lovely.
Well, you're an idiot.
I feel Dan's one of the nicest blokes I've ever met in my life, yeah. And his wife's great.
Stupid.
Stupid. Adam Mason's terrific. but yes, that's my plans for the weekend. And then on Sunday, oh, boy howdy, I'm having a lion and I'm doing sweet FA.
Oh, the dream.
In fact, I've bought Endgame.
Have you?
And me and the wife are going to sit up on that sofa. We're going to bring the duvet into the living room.
Ponder sofa.
Ponder sofa, and we are going to watch Endgame, and then I'm going to watch it again with the commentary, and then probably watch the features.
My lord!
While she has a snooze,
it's too much now. Well, it was fine when you said you were going to watch it in a duvet. I was into that.
Can I bring you back?
Go on.
We're going to watch a Disney film.
Which one?
That we haven't decided. I'm almost thinking Mulan.
Oh, I love Mulan.
Because I've only seen it the once.
Mulan!
I've only seen it the once. And I feel like I want to see it again. Because the once I've seen it, I thought it was pretty good. So yeah. I want to see it again.
And you need to know that song.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because if you listen to our Ramble Club podcast that we did, was it Ramble Club?
It was all. Yeah, well, I'm hoping it wasn't something else that went out to a wider audience.
On this week's, last month's Ramble Club podcast, our drunk show, we did sing Make a Man Out of You on karaoke. But only Laurie knew the words, and me and Pete just sort of stumbled our way through it, and it was bad.
It's quite brutal, the karaoke on that, because we start the show with the karaoke as well.
Yeah.
When we've not had any drinks.
No.
So, like, I don't know, I think there should be a pre-game for Ramble Club.
The kickoff show.
We don't record it. I'm just saying I want to pre-lash.
You want to get like sensible drunk
first.
I'd
like to get to warm up. Yeah, I need to.
Sensible Larry.
Sensible drunk, and then I'll get sensible Larry for the first hour, and then for the next bit, I'll get Larry.
Proper Larry. Yeah. Maybe that's the way we'll do it from now on. We should go to the pub more often, really, in the job that we have. There's a pub literally across the road, and it's a great pub.
I feel like we could record things there. This show could easily be done there. We could just take a set and we'd just take the stuff and go over there. Like,
At least it's cooler.
It's quiet
in there.
It's
too hot, it is.
It's quiet in there during the day. I think we could do it from the pub.
I think you got the right idea.
I'll pitch it to Ollie.
Yeah. We have not got any emails to get through, I'm afraid. Oh, no, we've got Blake's. I was actually going to read Blake's email for a change. So, in fact, I will read Blake's email. Oh. It says, first things first, here is my obligatory 80% fact. Blake's favourite comic book character is The Flash, specifically Wally West, which is even more interesting because Blake is said to be a descendant of the Greek god Hermes. So he's got a barbershop window, which we don't get a lot on in the barbershop window front. But he's got two that he'd like to share with us. The first story is when I was 11 years old. Each year, going into All-Star for baseball, I would get a mohawk haircut. However, this particular year, I wanted to spice things up by getting a number 13 shaved into the side of my head. As the woman was cutting my hair, she finished putting the number on the left-hand side. She moved to the right. Almost finished with the right, she suddenly stopped, went back to the left side, then back and forth again, you know, without saying a word, but I could tell something was awry. I asked what the problem was, and she realized that she had put a 13 on the left side and one E on the right side, subsequently forcing me to shave both sides of my head completely. I thought it was going to be you asked for a 13, but she drew a 31.
Yeah. Give it to me, baby.
Ew. My second barbershop window is from this past Thursday and Friday, although bearing in mind by the time I read this email out, it was a long old time ago, and it's less about the haircut and more about the aftermath. I've been growing out my hair for about 2 years now, and it's become a part of who I am at this point. I often compare myself to Samson in that my hair gives me strength, but due to me looking after another job that would allow me to be home more often than my current one, yet still gives me the means to support my wife through nursing school, and it would time to get a cut. It was time to get a cut. Anyway, I went to the barber and I told him what I was looking for. Basically, the Buddy Murphy. best in-ring wrestler in WWE. With the sides and the backs faded, yet still long on top. I thought this would look... it would look professional enough for me to explore other job opportunities. So my barber worked his magic and I loved my haircut. I looked thinner and younger. I know I'm only 21, but I was told I looked mid to late 20s. I just about looked like a brand new man. I got home and waited to surprise my wife with my new haircut, thinking she would also love it. But that's not what happened. She has never been a fan of that particular haircut, but I thought it would be able to change her mind. Apparently not. She walked in the door, saw me and said, "Oh my God. That is the ugliest haircut I've ever seen."
Whoa, brutal.
I felt like Seth Rollins must have felt the night Dean Ambrose turned on him. She then pointed out to me that it would not be professional enough for the job I'm looking to get. So now I sit here with 17.5 inches cut off, almost no hair left, and missing my lovely locks. Moral of the story, perhaps the best of us, me, hits the bump in the road every now and again. Much love. King of the Swaff Nation, Blake from Texas. Wow. There you go, Blake. I read out your stupid email.
Has he included pictures of this hair?
He has not, but I think he might have done because he sent it twice. But this is very interesting for you. So, see, here's the email, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the email, text and everything. And then I scroll down. What's happened here?
Oh, what has happened here?
It's a lot of
Blake,
coding.
You've got a virus.
Yeah, a lot of gobbledygooks come through. But I wonder if that was supposed to be an image and it's just sent through the code of said image or just the matrix of said image. But yeah, there you go, Blake. We've now read out your email. You've also sent in a Rusev hey that maybe we'll get to at some point. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.